Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 for just a few moments. I want to share a few thoughts that I've been thinking about for quite some time recently, as I have the opportunity when we're here to be at Crossroads Baptist Church, the place that we dearly love. And we thank God for these many, many years and the wonderful, wonderful people He has put in this place. A couple of verses, Ephesians chapter 5. Beginning in verse number 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Our Father, we thank you so much for grace. What a difference grace has made in our lives. We thank you for the wonderful privilege given us as a people to be, first of all, saved, and then to serve together in an organism called the local church. We thank you for life. We thank you for the opportunity we have to live here on this earth and to live in America and the privileges and the things that you've given us. And I pray that you speak to our hearts together tonight in a very special way. Minister to us. Challenge us, remind us of some things that I trust will help us to do even a better job in serving thee. Now take me as your servant. I pray you'll cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Apostle Paul, the great missionary church planner, had gone into the city of Ephesus and preached the gospel. People got saved, and that ought to happen when the gospel is preached. Folks got saved, but they didn't stop there. They were scripturally baptized, and a local New Testament church was established, and he spent 3 years. And he wrote this letter back to them talking about walking or how they should live, and he talked about walking in love. In chapter number 5 especially, he's talking about walking in light. He says, we are children of light. In other words, the challenge to the church of Ephesus ought to be the challenge to us today. If we're truly saved by his grace, we ought to walk in a certain way. We are not children of darkness. We are children of light. In other words, the God of heaven who saved us expects us in a dark world to shine brightly to the world in which we live. So he's challenging them to walk as children of light. Children of light. In other words, you are to be different. You are to be seen different. People ought to look at you and see a difference. And as he's writing here and talking about walking in light, he gets down and he makes a statement here in verse number 15. He says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. The idea here is, be careful, children of light, that you don't get caught up in all of these things around you that the world is caught up in. So he says, walk diligently. So it ought to be a natural thing if I'm saved and I'm a child of God and I'm of the children of light, then ought to walk diligently every day of my life, ought to get up and ought to be careful that I don't let the things of this world bring me down. After all, the days are getting evil, and I'm going to tell you, and you know this, they're not going to get any better. We're living in difficult times. Walk circumspectly. Be careful not to get caught up in the things around you. Not as fools, but as wise, the idea, not as people who live and indulge in foolish pleasures and desires, but as those who are truly wise, because we know the one who is really wise. Be careful, he says, walk circumspectly, walk diligently, not as people of the world. Don't act like the world, don't look like the world, don't be like the world. And then in verse number 16, he made this statement. As you're walking, as you're living, as you're going through in life,
He says, here's something I want to challenge you to do. Redeeming the time, he says in verse 16, because the days are evil. Now, here's what he's saying, and here's what I want us to think about. We're living in evil days. One of the things that God has given all of us in one day, if we live through that day, in one week, if we live through that week, we have 24 hours in the day, 168 hours in the week. And he says, as children of light, because you know what the world is like, you look around you all the time and you see what people are doing. You see that people are taking that time that is given to us by Almighty God and indulging in things that are not good for us. But he says, I expect something different from you. You're the children of light. You're the walk in light. You're to take every hour, every day, every week and month. And one of the things that I ought to do every day of my life, when I get up in the morning, God, help me to redeem. In other words, help me to recover. Help me to rescue every hour of the day because the days are evil. Now, I'm getting a little older, and you don't have to remind me that. I already know. My knees tell me that. My head tells me that. My back. And a few other things. If that's not enough, my wife tells me that. And you know what I've learned at 73 years of age? I can't go back and make up for the time I've lost when I was 35 or 40. And you can't. Here's the thing. I can't make up lost time. Therefore, because I'm a child of light, I'm to function as wise. I'm not to be indulging in things that's going to take away time. Time is so precious for me. So every day of my life, as children of light, God, help me to redeem the time. Help me to rescue every hour. Help me to recover every minute. Help me to use it wisely for the glory of God. For a few moments tonight, I want to challenge Crossroads Baptist Church about the importance of redeeming time. You know, if you take the average day or the average week or the average month or the average year and think about the fact that we can't add time to it, every day is going to have the same amount of hours. Every week is going to have the same amount of hours. Every month is going to have the same amount of days. And I can't lengthen it. I'd like, as a preacher, I'd like, as a person who travels, I'd like, as a father, I'd like, as a husband, I'd like to have more time. I'd like to have more time to do some things I want to do. I'd like to spend more time doing this and spend more time. But every day, it seems like time runs out. And what Paul is challenging the church is what we ought to be challenged with tonight. Redeem the time. Recover, rescue, make the best of every moment you have, every hour you have, every day you have, every week you have, every month you have. Take those 168 hours in a week, and you've got to go through it and recover from wasted time to useful time. Recover some time that I spent here that wasn't the best place to spend it. What I did last week, we ought to take the week and break it down and say, I spent this amount of time here, this amount of time here, this amount of time here. And God, I don't like the amount of hours that went here. So this upcoming week, beginning today, for the next 168 hours, help me to redeem, help me to rescue, help me to recover every moment to be used for the glory of God. A number of years ago, if I look at my note on the top of this, it says November 29th, 1992. That's a long time ago. I took my 168 hours a week or my 24 hours a day And I took that thought that I read way back in 1992, and I said, God, help me to redeem my time. And the idea of redeeming time is, God, help me to rescue it. Help me to recover it. In other words, help me to take my day and put the hours in the order of importance. It's going to help me act like I'm a child of light. I don't care if the rest of the world spends the whole week watching television or going to the movies or on the phone. God, help me as a child of light, one who's wise, because I know the wise one helped me to take my hours of the day. And God, I want to redeem the time. I want to rescue the time. I want to recover the time. I want to put those hours to work where they're best for the glory of God. So I put together four areas of life that I think we need to redeem the time. And I put them in what I believe to be the order of importance. And I want you to think about that for a few moments. And let's talk about a 24-hour day or 168-hour week. How do I manage that time or rescue hours to put in the order that I believe is important for children of light? Well, the first thing I came up with, I thought was the most important. If I've got 168 hours, I've got 24 hours in a day, I've got some time that I'm awake, I want to put time in the best place. And the most important place for me to put time is my time with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something about evil days. You or me or nobody in here today is going to make it through this world unless you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go to work. You can't walk outside. You can't go to a shop. You can't do absolutely nothing and stand in this flesh and amount to anything unless there's a strong relationship with the one who showed grace and saved our souls. So at the top of my list, I say, here's what I need if I'm going to be a child of light. If I'm going to make it in this evil world, help me to redeem the time to build my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I started looking back here recently when I got saved in July of 1976 as a young Christian, 30 years old, 30-year-old flesh. Wicked and ungodly. Keep in mind, you do something for 30 years, you build up kind of an attitude. Or your flesh becomes automatic in some things. And all of a sudden, I realize I'm now a child of light. Grace has been bestowed upon me. I've got this hour. I'm working. I'm a businessman. I've got a lot of things going. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I've got all of these things going. And on top of that, I'm worldly. So how am I going to do it in a wicked world? And I learned very early in my Christian life, I've got to build a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's something I did early in my life. I made it very shortly after I was saved, I said, you know what? I need to redeem the time out of my 168 hours or my 24 hours a day to commune with this God. So I established early in my Christian life a prayer time. I committed to Almighty God that every day of my life, out of the 24 hours a day, I'm going to spend a certain amount of time on my knees every single day without stopping, without missing, without giving in. In spite of the fact that I'm a businessman, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I've got to build something that's missing in my life. So way back then, I just committed every day of my life, I'm going to get on these knees. Keep in mind, I'm 30, and I'm still on them at 73 every day and talk to the Lord in prayer. Now, I'm going to give you something that's free from me, from the Bible, and from experience. You will never amount to anything in your Christian life if you haven't learned how to pray. I can remember traveling and preaching at times, and keep in mind people will say, well, it's mechanical. You promise God you're going to get on your knees every day and pray. Yes, it may be mechanical, but I'm keeping what I promised. Have you ever fallen asleep? Yes. As a matter of fact, I've traveled and preached sometimes, and I had my wife drive in the front. She would drive the car, and I've got in the back of the car and got on my knees and prayed my hour. You want to call it mechanical? I just call it commitment and keeping it. You got to develop a prayer life. So I learned that. So every day, regardless of busyness, whatever I do, after all of these 43 years, I still keep that commitment. Is that enough? No. But it was a start back then. And it helps me. And you need to start at some point of your life to get on your knees and talk to the one who knows everything about you and everything that's going on. Not once in a while, not, Lord, thank you for my food, but every single day of your life, you need to talk to God. So I learned that 43 years ago. The second thing I learned around the same time, I'm going to talk to him by prayer, but I need for him to talk to me. So I learned that if he's going to talk to me, I'm not going to walk outside and see a 900-foot Jesus in the cloud talking to me. I'm going to get in this inspired Word of God and read it every day. So way back then, I committed to him that I'm going to read my Bible. I think I started in the early time at a chapter a day, and then I got to 5, and I've done that for years and years. And today I read 11 to 12. Every day, my wife reads through the Bible 5 times a year, and I haven't caught up yet. And I don't know at my age if I'm going to try to catch up. But at least I've kept my 5 a day all of these years. And you know what? God talks to me. So I learned way back there, I need to read the Word of God every day, as it says in Timothy. I need to study the Word of God. Not the whole, you don't have a commentary, but you ought to study the Bible every single day. If you read something, you'll get something you don't understand. You ought to redeem the time to study to find out what it means. And if you read it every day, if you study it every day, then you ought to do something as I did way back there. Memorize the Word of God every day. And then once you memorize it, just kind of meditate and chew it up a little bit, and you'll find it's good. That takes time. But I don't have that kind of time. Oh, yes, you need to find that kind of time. Can you tell me anything that's more important than redeeming or recovering some of that 168 hours or that 24 hours that you're wasting on a whole lot of things? Can you tell me anything more important than recovering it to talk to God in prayer and to let him talk to you through the Word and build a relationship with Jesus Christ? Why? The days are evil. Flesh can't beat evil. We need God to help us. So top of my list, I said, I've got to redeem time for Christ. And you know what? I did that 43 years ago because I was taught that and read that in the Bible. I still do that today because I was taught it, read it in the Bible. But I know after 43 years, it works. It works every single time. So I got to redeem time. After all, he is the head of the church. He's the head of the body. I mean, he is number one. No one deserves more quality time from my life than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's built by reading and studying and memorizing and meditating on the Word of God and falling on our knees in prayer and mark it down. It takes time. All right? Redeem the time. Build your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The days are evil. They're not going to get better. And then the second thing I put down for me, and I'm only giving you my menu. You can take and do with it whatever you want to. But if you don't have some of these ingredients in your life, you're telling me something about you. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it through this life in this evil world without a good, strong relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ built upon prayer and the word, precious word of God. And then there's something else I learned years ago that I need to do with time. I need to find time for Jesus Christ. But I found that I need time for companionship. You know, no man's an island. And the Bible teaches us that we're to have companionship. If you, we won't look there, but if you look back in Deuteronomy and chapter 6 and Psalm 78, and it talks about developing spiritual time with your family and spiritual time with your children and spiritual time with other Christian people. And I learned the importance way back when I got saved. I learned the importance of taking that Bible that I'm reading, that I'm memorizing, that I'm meditating upon, that I'm studying it, and then to take my family and take that same Bible that's strengthening me and help to strengthen them. If you're a family, if you're a father and a mother here today and you've got little children, let me tell you something. There's nothing you can do any better than having devotional time with your children, giving them the Word of God, telling them how great God is, and telling them what God has done in your life. I believe I have two sons in the ministry today because when I was pastoring, I didn't go home every day to have lunch, and we used to have lunch every day as a family, but we didn't have people for lunch. We made the ministry exciting. We made serving God exciting. We taught them the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God. When I was studying for the ministry, my wife did devotion. We wanted them to know that this God is wonderful. He is great. And we had that companionship as a family that meant something. So there's spiritual time. I've got to take, it's one thing when I have my personal time with Christ. But if I have a family, there needs to be companionship between a husband and wife, or father and mother and their children, to be able to talk about the goodness of God and how great He is. We need that in our lives. But I found out also in my Christian life, there's spiritual time and spiritual companionship that I need. But there's also social time that I need. And I found out that it's good to have time, not only with your companion and time with your children, but I learned to have time with other Christian people. You know, it's good to know that what God is doing in your life, He's doing in somebody else's life. And let me challenge you. If you're married today, and I've been married 53 years, and what's today, the 7th? In 8 more days, 53 years. And companionship, and by the way, especially when you get older. When you get older, that companionship is real good. Especially when you forget where you put your phone and somebody remembers it. And you forget how to. I'm one of those guys that doesn't know how to pack his own clothes, doesn't know how to buy his own clothes. It's good to have somebody that puts up with you enough to go shopping. My wife just leaned over and said, we got to go get you a watch before you travel thirsty. So you'll know how to keep time. But it's good to have good companionship. But let me tell you something. You're not going to get it when you're at the 53 year. You better start when you're at the first year and the second year. You better say, I'm busy. Then you're too busy. You're too busy if you don't build a relationship with your companion, with your children, because it takes time. Where am I going to find? Redeem it. Recover it. Rescue it. Look at what you're doing. Cut some things here. Cut some things there. After all, I'm the redeemed of time. Why? I'm a child of light. I'm not to do what the rest of the world is doing. We need time with Christ, top of the list. Time for companionship. And then thirdly, The Bible says in Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. We need time for church. Church is very important to children of light. Do you realize that when God saved us, when grace came down and saved our souls, the moment we were saved, we were placed in the family of God. That was all of God. But then Jesus established an organism called the Church of God. And he says, if you're saved and you're a child of light, you need to get involved in that local New Testament church. And that's going to require time. Time to do that. Now, here's what I learned 43 years ago that I still believe and still practice today. If I'm spending time with Christ, and I do, in prayer, in reading, studying, memorizing, meditating on the Word of God so He can talk to me. If I'm doing that, I do spend time with my companion. My children are grown up, so they spend time with their companions and their children. But we did that growing up. But I learned way back there, after getting saved on the Thursday night, going to church on Sunday, getting baptized the following Sunday, I learned that it's important to spend time at church. Now, here's what I learned way back there. I know you're going to say, boy, he's old-fashioned. He's really old school, and I am. Here's what I learned, old school, back in 1976. I ought to go to Sunday school. I ought to go to Sunday morning service. I ought to go to Sunday night service. I ought to go to Wednesday night service. And I ought to be winning souls. You know what I learned about that? That's my reasonable service. I'm not doing anything extra. That's reasonable. I ought to go to Sunday school. Sunday school, if it were not important in the local church, we wouldn't have it. Why waste a whole hour on Sunday to have Sunday school if it's not important? And we're going to park here for a little bit. I think children of light who have a relationship with the Lord ought to come to Sunday school. Amen. Ought to come to Sunday school. Okay? So I just assumed that everybody who didn't say amen is not coming to Sunday school. That's fine. That's why we're going to park here for a few moments. Sunday school. It's a matter of time. Redeem it. Recover it. We ought to call it Sunday school. So church attendance begins with Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday, soul winning, and that's reasonable service. Now, here's something free. Not only did I learn early in my Christian life to go to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, but I felt the more I walked with the Lord, the more I wanted to do more. So I got in the bus ministry. And when I got in the bus ministry, Michael was just a little 8-year-old fella. And we used to spend 6 hours every Saturday knocking on doors in the bus ministry. 8:30, rain or shine. Sunshine or cold weather. We were on that old bus. Used to go around Open Alexandria, load up those 40, 50, 60 children and bring them in to Sunday school. When everybody else was going home to eat, we'd be on that bus at about 2:30 in the afternoon. We'd make our way back home, grab a little bite to eat. 5 o'clock, we had a service at the church. 6 o'clock was the regular service. And we did that week after week after week after week. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't say because I came to Sunday school and because I came to Sunday morning, and because I should skip maybe Sunday night because I was on the bus ministry. Here's what I learned. I do what is reasonable, and then if I want to go a little further, I've got to redeem some more time to do a little more. You see, you don't replace one with the other. And let me say for those who are in the local church, when you find yourself working in a ministry without doing something that's reasonable, you're headed in the wrong direction. Ministry workers should be going to Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and redeeming some extra time to go to the jail, to go to the prison, to go on the bus ministry, to even sing in the choir. That's extra. So you don't do one to replace the other. And may God help us to understand, if we're children of light, we ought to walk in the light. And the closer I get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I want to do more for him. But it means redeeming time. So we need time for church. And while I'm on this subject, and I only have about a third of you to agree with me anyway, here's another thing I want to throw in this free. Yes, sir, Pastor, I'm telling them exactly what you told me. Okay, I got it. Yes, sir. You ought to come to Sunday school on time. Say, but it's hot. Redeem it. Go to bed early on Saturday and get up early on Sunday morning. Why? I'm redeeming the time to go to Sunday school because I believe it's important. Be on time when you come to Sunday school, especially if you're teaching it. Amen? And then there's time for fellowships like productions and ladies' fellowship and men's prayer. None of those things are mandatory. But if you want to do those things, do what is reasonable and then redeem the time to do beyond that. All right, one more. And I want to, y'all woke up too, by the way. That's good. That's good. That's good. I hope Pastor's watching this. He'll be proud of me. Hey, children of light, walk as children of light. Don't indulge in things like the world. After all, they're taking their time for television and Facebook and Instagram and all of these other things. You're children of light. You recover some of that time and put it where it's valuable. Find some time with Christ. Find time to pray. Find time to read. Find time to study. Find time to meditate. Find time to memorize. That's all good. The days are evil. Make time for your family. Take time with your children. Set aside time for companionship with other people. And for heaven's sake, redeem time. Go to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and don't quit there. Find some time to get into a ministry. Sing in the choir. Go to the jail. And by the way, if you look at the people in the prison ministry, they are the same people that go Sunday school, Sunday morning. You know when they're not in Sunday school? They're working in the nursery or working in the parking lot or working somewhere else. These people are not people that all of a sudden doing one ministry. I get worried when I find somebody that find themselves all the time out of preaching service just to be in the nursery or any place. That's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. You ought to try to be in all of the service. And then the last one, which takes most of our time, unfortunately. I need time with Christ, time with companions, time with church, and then I need time with my career, but time with Caesar. I got to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We have to work. Matter of fact, we want you to work. I learned some things. If you don't work, you don't earn any money. And if you don't earn any money, you can't tithe. You can still give an offering. You can sacrifice to do that. But you don't work. You don't pay any tithes. And that means that the church can't function. And we can't reach the world. We can't do anything. So we want you to work. But we want you to be children of light. Well, even when you're working. So I came up with some ideas. And I was a businessman, and I hired people who worked for me. When I was lost, I was in business. I got saved. I became a better businessman. And I had people work for me, and I've had people work for me. And most of the time, either in business before I got out of the business, and even as a pastor and someone that has a child care center, most of the people we hire now are Christian people. And I found out some things about Christian people. They have a problem with time. So let me tell you what children of light ought to do when you work for Caesar. First of all, you ought to recover time to make sure when you work for Caesar, because you are children of light, you ought to be prompt on your job on time. You know how bad it is to look, how it looks for Christian people to be late for work? So I got to recover. Hey, I'm not just doing it because I may get fired. I'm doing it because God's looking at me and I've got a testimony. I just gave that fellow a track to come to my church, and my boss just got on me about being late. You know how it looks? So you got to recover the time as Christian people to be prompt on time. Also, as Christian people, you ought to perform better than non-Christian people. You ought to do a good job. I don't know how many of you all got that wonderful text email from Sister Kitchens there on how people on her job. She got a tough job. But people are not just looking at what she does with her job. They're looking at the character in which she does it. And by the way, Deanna, I've said it privately. We're proud of you. We're proud of you. And we got some people here that work in the military and the government that have a testimony of performance because they're children of light. Don't go to work for Caesar lazy, late, and a few other things. We're children of light. Be prompt. Perform to the best. And by the way, just because you work for a Christian boss doesn't give you the right to expect to be treated special. Because you have another Christian boss up there that's looking at how you perform. Give it your very best. Be prompt. Perform to the best. And then I've thrown this in here. You need to have a little precaution when you work for Caesar. And here's what I recommend. Don't go around, unless you have permission to do that, witnessing on Caesar's time. I know you want to get your lost co-workers saved, and you ought to have a Christian testimony, and you ought to have your Bible, but don't take up your boss's time to get in the corner with somebody that you're going to go down and try to prove the Bible to on Caesar's time. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. And then here's something else. Don't be working on Christ's time. Some people in the military, some people in the medical field, some people can't help it. But when you choose to work for an extra dollar on church time, that's not doing a good job. That's not recovering time. Make sure that you're very careful that you give God what is His. And then I throw a little extra thing in there for you. Try not to make a habit of traveling on Christ's time because you're so busy on Caesar's time, and the only extra time you have is Sunday, which is the Lord's time. And then that's your time for going. That's your time for traveling. Make sure, give God what He deserves. Now, that's my formula of life that I practiced for 43 years. And it may be old-fashioned. It may be out of the dark ages. But I'm going to tell you something. It still works. May God help us to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are
evil. Give Christ the time he deserved. Give your companion the time she deserved. Your children the time they deserve. Give your church the time it deserves. And give Caesar the time he deserves. And how can I do it? Learn this principle. God help me to redeem, recover time that's wasted and should not be where it is, and help me to put it where it's best to honor you. After all, I am a child of light. I'm not to act like the rest of the world, be like the rest of the world, do like the rest of the world. I'm to do what children of light ought to do. And that requires redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, time is so mismanaged among God's people. We're children of light. We often waste time. We often misuse time. But I pray tonight that you'd help us to consider some of these things and help us to be willing to redeem time, recover, rescue time, put it in the right place. We're not giving you the time that Christ deserves. Help us to redeem some time that you get your place in our lives. We're not giving the time that's needed for companionship, whether it's husband and wife or with our children or with other Christian people. Help us to redeem some time. We're not giving the time to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and ministries. Help us to redeem the time. Get in the right place. And if we work outside of church, or even if we work in church, help us to be prompt. Help us to perform. Help us to work with precaution. We'll render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto Christ the things that are Christ. Help us to do a better job of redeeming the time. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.